It says here in Psalm 37, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." And as we see this and are admonished, commanded by our Lord in these things, to trust in the Lord, we see promises along with them. There's a promise here with trusting in Him about living, about dwelling in the land and such. There is a future for the children of God. There is no future for the unbelieving and unrepentant. Delight thyself also in the Lord, which we who trust in the Lord should do so. Those who do not trust in the Lord, they have no point from which to delight themselves in the Lord. But we as the Lord's children are to delight ourselves in Him, and He gives a promise there. Commit thy way, verse number 5, unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass, the way that we need, the way that He knows is best. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And so we'll be used of the Lord to glorify and magnify Him, and His righteousness in us will shine forth, and our judgment will be a testimony of His grace, mercy, and love unto us. Then we come to verse number 7, which is what we want to consider this morning, where the Scripture says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Rest in the Lord. We don't see a promise with this facet of trust. We see from the standpoint of that, but we have an affirmation of what the Lord says earlier in the psalm. "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." We need to rest in our Lord always. And the Lord gives us in his word and tells us about this rest. But first, I want us just to consider, as we have in all these aspects, about the folly of his searching for eternal rest on this earth. Can you find rest here? Well, you know, to sit down and rest for a bit as we're working on a project or doing something, it helps us out, doesn't it? As we work, as we labor and toil in different things that we have, or maybe a hobby that we would pursue, or things that we need to do in our houses, or different work that we do here around the church house. Sometimes you just got to sit down and take a break. And that's good, isn't it? It helps us. It helps us get a project done. A little rest along the way of a large project helps us to accomplish much more than working without ever taking a break. And so we rest. We get our wind back, as we say. Do you take naps? I do. I take naps from time to time. A nap is a good thing. It's a good blessing to get a good nap. My problem with naps is I want to keep on napping. I just, when it gets a hold of me, I just keep on sailing, okay? But it's good. It's good to be able to take a nap from time to time. After my kidney surgery and had that with that kidney cancer, I found myself daily having to take a nap in the afternoon to make it through the day. I'm glad that has passed. But every now and then, I've got to take a nap, and that's a good thing. And so we're able to have that rest, aren't we? Did you have a good night's sleep last night? I tell you, without a good night's sleep, it's just rough and hard to function the next day, isn't it? But a good night's sleep is a great blessing. If you slept well, it was just a real good blessing. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much." And so it's good to be able to rest and sleep, take rest and sleep. The disciples, when the word came about Lazarus that he was sick, and the Lord told him that he sleepeth, they said, "Well, he does good in taking sleep and taking a rest and sleep." But they, of course, the Lord was talking about something else there. But as we consider about taking a break, taking a nap, or a good night's rest here on this earth, we all know that they just don't last, do they? They just don't last. We've got to go back, don't we? Tonight, after having a good day, and the Lord's blessed us greatly in the day, and we're thankful for it. But tonight, at the end of the day, we'll have to go, and we'll have to go get some sleep. I heard years ago that from a brother that I know up in Missouri. Of course, he's up in Michigan, and I think he was having a hard time with sleeping. The doctor told him, he said, if you don't get 4 hours of sleep a night, you're going to die. I mean, your body will just turn upside down and ultimately croak. We're that way. And so here on this earth, we're just going to have to go back. And the rest that we get and the sleep that we get is good, but it's never eternal, is it? It's never, from the physical standpoint, it never lasts. We've got to go back again. Well, I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn over to the book of Hebrews and let us hear about the rest that our Lord gives unto us. It's a concise layout here of a threefold rest that the Lord gives unto his children. This passage is kind of difficult in some respects, but I think if we slow down and take a look at it here, we can see about how the Lord commands us to rest in the Lord, to rest in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, into the Lord's rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So we see here that the subject in this passage is rest in our Lord. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us, and there is a promise that is given of entering into the Lord's rest, and beware. Don't be one that falls short of entering into it. This chapter 4, it's connected to chapter 3, and we've just, for the sake of time, we just don't have time to take a look into chapter 3. But in summary, chapter 3 of Hebrews speaks about the children of Israel and their deliverance from Egypt. That's what it's telling about. And telling about the two different types of people and what they did or what they didn't do there amongst and in the children of Israel. And in that chapter, in chapter 3, they having been delivered in such a great way, such a miraculous way, such a way that has never been known ever upon the face of the earth, before then or after then, there were many that could not and would not trust and rest in our Lord. They couldn't and they wouldn't rest in the Lord. How about you and me? So there is a rest, a promise of entering into our Lord's rest. Verse number 2, for unto us was the gospel preached. That's our context. We are where we are today. We are here in this time of the New Testament scriptures and going forth, this church age, the age of the Gentiles. And so this book being written to the Jews, it does have much application even to we who are Gentiles, being the children of God and being the children of faith, even the children of Abraham in that sense. The things that pertain directly and just to Israel, of course, don't pertain to us. We can learn from them and type and shadow and symbology that is there. There is that case. But this aspect of rest does apply unto all of us. The gospel has been preached to you and I. And Brother Stephen, he's heading to that in his Sunday school lesson. And what a Sunday school lessons, what a blessing that is. How the Lord has taken his word and just revealed and revealed and revealed. And the climax of that is the resurrection, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ being fulfilled, and the punch of the resurrection that he accomplished there, being that dynamite of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them. They had a gospel preached unto them too. But the word, hang on to that, preached unto them preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So there's the word, there's the hearing of it, and then there's the receiving of it, the believing it, the faith in the word and the one who has given it unto us. The gospel's been preached to us, and we've received that. If you're here and saved, you receive that. You've received the Lord Jesus. You've received his word and what he has said about you, about him, about our need, about judgment, about eternity, about the truth. It's been mixed with faith because we believe the Lord and what he has said. But there were those there that did not believe it. They heard it. They knew it was said. They even knew it was written down. But they didn't believe it. They just could not go there. They knew it had been given. They knew that God's man had received it and had written it down. They knew that God's man preached it. But they just could not take it to themselves to be a changer, if you will, of their life. Now understand, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was not directly preached unto them, because that's that time of not that much of the onion had been peeled back. But you know what had been preached to them? Well, what has always been the gospel and its climax revealed unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what the gospel has always been is salvation is of the Lord. As the Lord, and using Moses and such, in Exodus 14:13, and Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." That's always been the gospel, that the Lord is the Savior, that salvation is of him. He told them, Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord said it, and he meant it, and he did it, didn't he? And they did see it. Verse number 3. Here's the first type of rest that is manifested. For we, now back here to our context, these that they're those directly written to in the book of Hebrews, and us, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Salvation. There's a rest in salvation in there. To know that your sins are forgiven. To know that you're secure in Christ. To know that you will not be eternally destroyed. To know and to have confidence in our Lord that when he came and lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again, that he did it for you personally. Because he's the Savior of sinners, and you're the sinner that needs help. Oh, you know other sinners for sure, but you're on the inside of you, and you know how bad it is inside of you. And when the word of the Lord came into you, and he showed you the truth about you, and that there's no help or no hope within you, and then he showed you Jesus, in whom there is help, in whom there is forgiveness, in whom there is life, in whom there is promise, in whom there is a future. Oh, what a rest. I tell you what, I remember when the Lord was convicting me, and I tell you, it was the most terrible time of my life. Because it's a terrible thing to have everything that you're trusting in ripped away. Because we're found there, if you will, naked before the Lord, empty before the Lord. But that's the way we need to be found. No ability in self. It's a terrible, terrible thing to know that if your life, your physical life, is not sustained by the Lord, you will enter into hell. That's a terrible thing. But it's a necessary thing to show us and to bring us to the point of how we have nothing good to bring into our Lord. And the threat of eternal judgment is real. You know, this is said, well, I don't want to scare anybody into salvation. Well, don't worry about it. You can't. Okay, you can't scare anybody into salvation. And the thing is there are those that manipulate things and take things to work on the emotion of people. But I tell you what, if you're here without Christ, you need to fear the Lord, and you need to fear. The Jesus himself said, fear not the one that can destroy the body and after that has no more that he can do. This is what Jesus said. But he said, I tell you who you should fear. Fear him who after he has destroyed the body can take the soul and cast it into hell. He says, double emphasis, I say unto you, fear him. But that very one that can do such things is the one that has said, repent and believe the salvation that I bring and the good news that I bring, that you and I now know and understand in this time and from the Word of God and the complete working of the Lord is salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith, repentance of sins and faith in him. So we see our first rest is in the salvation of our soul. For we which have believed do enter into rest, and it is by faith. Continuing in verse number 3, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. He laid it out before him. He delivered them miraculously. He did all the things. They did the things that they asked. They pleaded the Lord for deliverance from their bondage out of the furnace of Egypt. You know what the Lord did? He did it. He did so. He sent a leader. And Moses typifies to a point our Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that. But the thing is, he did it all. And the only thing that they had to do was to take it and receive it and believe it. And then as we preached here recently, in recent times, as the shepherd calls, follow him and obey him. Now, I know that's very simplistic, but that's where we're at with it. The word of the Lord has been spoken. Enter into his rest by receiving it and believing it and following him in it. He says here, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. In Psalm 95, this is seemingly what the writer of Hebrews is drawing in. Psalm 95, verses 10 through 11. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. The if here in Hebrews is a distinguisher between those that believe and do enter into that rest and those who do not believe. And the Lord is pure angry with the unrepentant and the unbelieving. He is. He swore in his wrath, he says, that they do err in their heart. Why? Because they doubt, because they will not receive in what he has said. They say his salvation's not good enough. It's right, not right enough. Listen, how is it that a people delivered so greatly can say, oh, it would have been better for us to go be worked to death in Egypt and die than to die out here in this wilderness? You know, you and I are faced with that in a sense. Our Lord tells us how to live and how to obey him in his word. And we might pull up, rein up on that because we don't want to go there because we think it's a bad experience. And we will rather be destroyed and if you will, go down with, I've not laid this out well. If we will believe the Lord and go forward at what we, from the human standpoint, would perceive would be a loss, we need to know that our Lord has told us to do so. And you know what? What you and I see is will be a loss by obeying the Lord can miraculously turn out to be an eternal gain. I'm speaking very generally. But if we hold up and disobey, what will we do for sure? We will lose. That's the thing. You see what I'm saying? If we hold up on what our Lord has given us, we will lose. But if we'll go forward and trust him where we think humanly it will be a loss, Our Lord is able to make it a blessing and a gain. We got to remember that. These people were faced with the same thing. In Hebrews chapter 3, the previous chapter, in verses 7 through 11, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice. There's that if that is there in verse 3 of chapter 4. Will you believe? Will you reject? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, the Holy Spirit of God, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Again, chapter 3 is talking about the children of Israel delivered out of Egypt, being taken to the promised land. And here in chapter 4, a reference to that. Where are you? Will you receive him and his word and what he said? That you might have this rest and salvation? Or will you reject it and deny it? See, what's the scripture say? Today. Today is the day of salvation, not another day. Now is the accepted time, the scripture says. And so here we all are. It's descriptive of all of us, whether we've been saved and we've entered into that rest or a blessing of that rest before us, and we do not believe. Unbelief is the issue, isn't it? Unbelief brings the wrath of God. Unbelief is the rebuke and rebuff of the Lord. The unbelieving sinner declares in his heart, it is too good to be true, that just trusting and resting in the Lord. But listen, Israel was backed up in a corner facing the Red Sea and certain destruction. But the Lord said, I'm going to take you to a land of milk and honey. Even though it looked humanly like it was impossible. But see, that's when God shines. It's impossible for God to forgive me of what I've done. No, it's not. Not through Christ Jesus. It's impossible. It's impossible. Every impossibility that we lay out is not impossible with God. And understand this, that men, women, boys, and girls are condemned before God because they do not believe. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. You know it in John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. What he said from the lips of Jesus to Nicodemus. He that believeth on him, on the Son of Man, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's what Jesus says. Faced right there with it. Believe it, receive it, or not. Find your own way, as we talked about. The scripture talks to us about a way, the ends their way of a man. There's a way that seems right unto man. The ends thereof is death and destruction, or the Lord's way. I pray that if you're here and you're not saved, that you would receive him and enter into his rest. Praise God for the rest that he gives us and the salvation of our soul. There at the end, verse number 3, it says, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now we can debate about what exactly is being talked about here, works finished from the foundation of the world. And understand, it doesn't say before. The word before is not there. It's from the foundation of the world. When the world was built by God, and you and I and Adam and woman, Eve, were created, what happened? What happened after the Lord finished his work? On the seventh day, he rested. Even in the Lord creating the earth and us and all that is therein and all of what he created, seen and not seen, whenever it was that how he did all of that. But what we have here is about the creation of the earth and us in it. There was a promise of his rest given in that seventh day. The Lord has been looking to give man a rest from the beginning. And the true rest is the rest in him. The rest in him. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? One day of seven that is since the beginning spoken to the rest promised by our Lord. This one day of seven speaks about that rest promised by him, a rest found only in him. And understand, in our day, we've seen it. It's been done so since the time of Israel and before. Men have trampled on this day from the beginning. But this day, today, as we come apart from the regular things of the world and meet together to worship our Lord, as the Lord's given us in this New Testament age, this token indeed speaks to the rest that can only be found in him. It's his design for us to have a day of rest. Now, granted, we may not get too much rest, especially if you drive a long way, and then we have our meal, but we do have a rest from the normal way of the week, don't we? And then maybe, if the preacher doesn't preach too long this afternoon, you can go home and take a nap, okay? But our Lord, his design has always been this way. Verse 4 confirms this. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And so we have that confirmation that that testimony is there from the beginning of rest. In John 9, verse number 4, the Lord Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We have now not only this indication of the Lord looking to provide rest for man, but we have this about work and labor that is coming on the scene. The Lord resting from his works. In Mark chapter 2, verse 27 and 28, and he saith unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He made it for us to have a different kind of day from our normal way, to rest from our labors, as the Lord told the nation of Israel and tells the world in his moral law in Exodus 20, verse number 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days to work and one in which to rest. Today we start off our week with rest and worship of our Lord. And what a better way to start off the week, amen? And we do so because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that of the seventh day and the Lord's rest, it typifies that. It's beginning to speak about rest and work. Okay, so that's there. We have this rest in salvation, but he's beginning to lay the groundwork of another rest, because the rest is threefold, a rest in work, and then also the rest that we have in the end. Okay? Because now is the time to work. But one day we will rest. Let's look on here. He's beginning to give us hints. Verse number 5, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, as he said in verse number 3, by faith in him. Verse 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Okay. So, there are yet those that must enter therein. We're still here, so there's more folks to be saved by the Lord. Okay? Now, I'm not a believer that when the last person is saved, then we're out of here, because the design of the Lord is that when they're saved, that they be baptized and join the Lord's kind of church. So who knows what the Lord will do when the last one is saved? Okay? And how he does that. The time of his coming will be when he wants it to. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter into this rest therein, and they to whom it was first preached, speaking of Israel, entered not in because of unbelief. So re-emphasis of that. You don't enter into the Lord's rest of the salvation of the soul or any of these with unbelief. Verse 7, again he limiteth, or he points out a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Another emphasis about believe. Today. Today enter into his rest and salvation. Believe him now. As the Lord says in Psalm 95, verse 7, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice." The unrepentant and the unbelieving need to hear his voice and receive the Lord Jesus in this rest that he has given of the salvation of souls. But you know what? As his children, we need to believe him in regards to these other two rests that are going to be spelled out here in this passage. We need, as it says in verse 8 of Psalm 95, "Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." We must believe him today and forever. Our Lord is true, he's trustworthy, and he is faithful in all that he promises. In verse 8 here in Hebrews 4, "For if Jesus had given them rest, complete in every aspect, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" Verse 9, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." So we are the people of God by having this rest in salvation. But the good news is there's another rest that is promised us too. Now, don't glaze over on me. Don't check out. I know this passage is difficult, but we can get there. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." See, the people of God already have a rest in salvation. And what is that rest that we have that remains? Well, number one, it's a rest of eternity with our Lord. You know, I was thinking about this past week. It occurred to me I'd often wondered about the rapture. We've been dealing with that verse and referencing that verse in 1 John chapter 3 about looking for the Lord, and when we see him, we'll be like him. And we know other verses that tell us that when the Lord comes, that we'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. I was thinking about this. The rapture of the saints is going to be a wondrous thing, but I tell you what, it's going to happen faster than an instant. And I've always thought about us leaving out of here, just kind of at a leisurely rate, going off the earth and going on in to be with our Lord at a leisurely rate. But you know what? This thing's going to happen in an instant. And I can't remember. I meant to ask some of you fellas before services, but it seems like to me the reentry speed when a space vehicle comes back into the earth is like Mach 6, Mach 8, something like that, 6-8 times the speed of sound. I think that's right. It might be more than that. You know how fast we're going to leave out of here? Speed of light. Faster than twinkling of an eye. You know what it's going to do to this old mortal flesh? I tell you what, we'll probably have the heart attack first, and then the body will be burned up, and we'll have a body like Christ. Because we're going to be out of here in a hurry. And that's okay. Because the Lord will take care of it, won't he? But I mean, it's going to be like zoop, and then we'll be there with him. It'll be faster than zoop. All right? But this rest, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." This rest in glory with our Lord and Savior. It's our great hope, isn't it? As it says in Revelation 14, 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." So we have this second rest that is revealed unto us, the rest and glory with our Savior. Verse number 10, "For he that is entered into his rest in salvation," what's referred to in verse 3, "he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his." We don't do what we want to do as the Lord's children. At least we're not supposed to, right? We're supposed to be doing his work. Not only do we have a rest in salvation, not only do we have that rest that we look forward to in glory with our Lord, but you know what? We have a rest in service. The Lord ceased from his works and rested the seventh day. We who are saved and do rest in our Lord have ceased from our own. Have we not? We're supposed to. Do you do what you want to do without consulting the Lord? Do you go and pursue, do you and I go and pursue what we want to do without checking it out with the Lord? Or do we face up flat out with the Word of God, and the Word of God says that I should do this or I should not do this, but I just want to go ahead and do my own thing? You know what? There'll be no rest in service being disobedient to what the Lord says in His Word. There'll be no rest. You know what there will be in the child of God? Turmoil, guilt, the Holy Spirit being grieved, the Holy Spirit within, living within, being quenched. And it'll be misery for the child of God. Maybe grappling and crawling and scraping to try to find some happiness and joy in this life, something that we think will make everything all right. But if it's against what the Lord says, what's it going to end up in? Disaster. Disaster and no rest. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. We see here our rest in obedience and service of him. Verse 11, it's confirmed. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 6? To the free lunch crowd. Take a look over here if you have your Bibles in John chapter 6, verse number 27. Listen to what Jesus says. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Same way of saying, a different way of saying the same thing. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. We are to labor to enter into his rest and obedience and service of him. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, verse 11 of Hebrews 4, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What example? The children of Israel. The Lord laid it out before. He gave them a wondrous thing. He gave them a future. He gave them deliverance. He gave them rescue. He told them what he wished for them, how they could worship him, how they could serve him, how they could live abundantly before him. But they didn't believe him, did they? There were many that did not believe. And you and I are faced with the same thing. And then we come to this hallmark passage. Listen, brothers and sisters, listen, visitor. Listen how this is all laid in here. Verse 12. Today, if you will hear his voice in his word, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder a soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God, if we will avail ourselves to it, will flush out our rotten motive and show us what the Lord wants us to do, show us the way of peace, show us the way of joy, show us the way of rest. Neither is there any creature by this word that is not manifest in his eyes. The Lord knows even what's going on in the inside. And he says, today, if you'll hear my voice, to the sinner, hear his voice in this rest that he brings forth, that he gives through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Child of God, enter into this rest of service and obedience that he lays out plainly before us. And know that this is the way of blessing. This is the way of peace and contentment. This is the way of help. Because the Lord with his word takes us and cuts us open and shows us the truth. But what was it that the Lord said about the children of Israel there that were delivered out of Egypt? It all started out, the disobedience all started out in their heart. In their heart. In their heart. And that's the way it is with you and me. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifested in sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knows us better than we know ourselves. May we rest in him and trust in him. And then what do we have here? A statement about what? A statement about the word of God? It's efficacy, its effectualness to us, to help us in this, to guide us in this, to reveal about our heart and our old man in this. And then we have a reference of looking to Jesus, verse 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, which he's been talking about in previous chapters, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast to what we say that the Lord has done for us in that first rest of salvation. Let us continue on in the design and the plan and pattern and work of God, having had that rest in the salvation of our soul, looking for that rest of being in glory and eternity with Him. Let us hold fast that profession in faithfulness and walk with Him. Let us hold that fast. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. What does that mean? He knows how we're tempted and tried. He knows the strait that we get put in with temptation and desire and the world coming at us with its allurements, and maybe others in the world, maybe friends that would lead us astray, and that He knows about that. And we can go to Him for the help that we need to be faithful, to enter into that rest of obedience and service. Verse 16, He is faithful, there in verse 15, for us in every way. He never wavers. Verse 16, we have help in Him. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There is prayer we are tempted to underestimate, but it is by prayer that we can, as the children of God, procure the mercy and procure the grace and procure the help that we need if we will honestly come to Him for strength and help in the things that we need. What did he say? I didn't write it. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We belong there as children. We've been told to bring our petition before the Lord, that we may obtain mercy. I need help, Lord. You know I'm tempted to this. I need help. I need help to resist this, to go the right way. Lord, I need help to discern what's right to do. Lord, I need help to understand what Your Word says about this thing that I'm facing that I think I should do and I should follow in, but what do You say in Your Word? I need help with that. I need mercy. And to find grace, the graciousness of the Lord, that He would change our heart. That He would change that in which we say that we're, or find ourselves satisfied in. Lord, help me with this. I know it's wrong. I'm allured, I'm tempted, I'm tried. I need Your help. Help me with this. To help in time of need, because we have need indeed. Our rest and salvation of our soul. If you're here and you're not saved, this is the rest that you need, which is only found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, but hear Him, receive Him, believe Him, repent, and trust in Him. As the children of God, our rest in glory with our Lord and our Savior. This is the great hope of the saved, to be with Him forever one day, and we will be. It's not a maybe kind of hope, but it's a no-so hope. And then our rest and obedience and service to Him. The rest that you and I can have now by obeying Him in the little time of mortal life that we have left. As the psalmist said in Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. We don't have time to deal with that second part, but as we trust in Him, may we rest in Him, and may we wait on Him, to wait patiently on Him. He's given us instruction. And sometimes we need strength to be able to go forward. And we need to go to Him for that strength as an example. We get the phone call or we get the news about something, and we say, Lord, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. As an example, I need Your help. And then we wait on Him as His children. And he gives. He helps. We press on. And fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. The Lord will take care of the wicked. What we need to do is we need to take care of ourselves and be a witness of our Lord to this lost and dying world. Peradventure, the Lord would take and save the wicked. And we need to obey him, wait for him without fretting, and know that indeed he will take care of everything. Rest in the Lord.